Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the Voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Education Report and the Making of a Nation, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. On today's program, we talk about two serious subjects. The United Nations says some very bad things have been happening to people in North Korea. A recent report says these acts are as horrible as some of the Nazi atrocities of World War II. We will have complete details. Then we turn to Japan. Some person, or perhaps more than one, has been damaging all the copies of a very famous book that they can find in libraries. So far, who and why remain a mystery. So we invite you to listen carefully to As It Is to hear about what is happening in the world and improve your American English at the same time. A United Nations commission says North Korean officials, and possibly even North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, should be tried for crimes against humanity. A report released in February by the UN's Commission of Inquiry on North Korea compares many of the abuses to crimes committed by the Nazis during World War II.
The abductions of the public executions and of the fact that many people simply disappeared.
Michael Kirby is the commission's chairman.
The suffering and the tears of the people of North Korea demand action, and that is the proposal of the Commission of Inquiry.
The commission's results come from a year-long investigation. It interviewed 80 witnesses. These people confirmed similar stories from other alleged victims. The commission also used satellite pictures of alleged prison camps in North Korea. North Korea says these camps do not exist. Amnesty International also used testimony from people who survived the camps in North Korea to prove their claims of human rights abuses.
When my parents starved to death, I didn't have coffins for them. I wrapped their bodies with straw, carried them on my back, and went to bury them myself and the children. I lost all my family.
Women will go through a blood test to check for pregnancy and any sexually transmitted disease. They would force abortion after the pregnancy test. Pregnant women get sent to labor camps to carry loads up and down the hills, which cause miscarriages.
Amnesty's Roseanne Reif hopes the new report will make a difference.
Maybe the best chance we have to get North Korea government to take action to improve the human rights situation. So it's critical that the United Nations make the best use of this report.
North Korea refused to cooperate with the inquiry. North Korean officials told Reuters news agency they reject the findings in the report. But the commission said that it sent North Korean leader Kim Jong-un a letter detailing the evidence. The commission also warned the leader of North Korea that he could be held responsible for crimes committed under his rule. Again, commission leader Michael Kirby.
Well, now the international community does know. The international community will know. There will be no excusing a failure of action because we didn't know.
The United States issued a statement about the report. Officials say it gives strong evidence of serious and widespread human rights violations. The commission wants the North Korean alleged abuses sent to the International Criminal Court. Japanese police are searching for the people who destroyed hundreds of copies of Anne Frank's Diary of a Young Girl in dozens of libraries across Tokyo. Since the end of January of this year, more than 30 libraries in the Tokyo area have reported damage to nearly 300 books, dealing with the teenager killed during the Holocaust. Anne Frank's famous diary tells about her time spent in hiding during the Nazi German occupation of the Netherlands during the Second World War. her diary reads like a normal teenager's diary. In other words, it is full of her thoughts about herself and her hopes for the future. It also tells of her daily struggles for survival and her fear of being discovered. In the end, the Germans did find her family, and they were sent to concentration camps. In 1945, Anne died of typhus while in the Bergen-Belsen camp in Germany. She was only 15 years old. Her father, Otto, was the only member of the immediate family to survive the war. He published Anne's diary in 1947. Anne's Diary of a Young Girl has sold millions of copies and has become a symbol of the Holocaust. Rabbi Abraham Cooper is an associate dean with the Simon Wiesenthal Center. The center is one of the largest international Jewish human rights organizations. Rabbi Cooper says that he feels this is not the act of just one person.
Obviously, you're not talking about one or two incidents and talking about a wide geographic location. Then we're talking about some sort of organized effort.
Toshihiro Obayashi is the deputy director of the Central Library in Japan's Suginami area. Mr. Obayashi said that each and every book which comes up under the index of Anne Frank has been damaged at their libraries. He adds that nothing like this has ever happened before. Rotem Koner is professor of Japanese history and culture at the University of Haifa in Israel. He says that Diary of a Young Girl is probably one of the most popular books for youth in Japan and has been throughout the post-war years. Rabbi Cooper agrees. He says the Diary of Anne Frank makes bestseller lists in Japan year after year.
Whoever did this, I think, understands the importance of Anne's message, of who she was, what happened to her, the lessons we should be learning from the Nazi era and the Second World War.
He also believes that those who attacked the memory of Anne Frank did so for nationalistic reasons.
There is a huge internal debate and struggle within Japan and, of course, across Asia of coming to grips with what happened in the era of Imperial Japan and the atrocities that took place in Asia, the current tensions between especially China and Japan. A lot of it, you know, surrounds unresolved questions of history, of apology, remorse, etc.
But Japan's government has criticized the attacks on Anne Frank's books. Japanese Chief Cabinet Secretary Yoshihide Suga says the damage done to the books is shameful. This all comes at a time when Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is also being criticized for his nationalist policies. Beijing and Seoul were quick to criticize Prime Minister Abe's recent visit to the Yasukuni Shrine. This is a monument to Japan's war dead that also includes the remains of 14 convicted war criminals. Before we leave you, let's take a quick look back in time. On this date in 1781, the planet Uranus was discovered by an Englishman named William Herschel. 74 years later, Percival Lowell was born. He was an American astronomer whose work helped in the discovery of Pluto. And 75 years ago today, a baby boy was born in Brooklyn, New York, to the Sedaka family. Neil Sedaka went on to write over 500 songs. I can remember hearing him sing Breaking Up Is Hard to Do during the early years of rock and roll. But I always dreamed about the woman whose picture Neil kept on his wall.
I love, I love, I love my calendar girl. Yeah, sweet calendar girl. I love, I love, I love my calendar girl. Each and every day of the year.
January,
you start the year off fine.
Don't go away. There are more Learning English programs to come. And world news at the beginning of the hour on VOA. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. When you smile, yeah, yeah, my heart's in a whirl. I love, my little calendar girl every day, every day, every day of the year. The Education Report is next, followed by The Making of a Nation. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report. Suppose you are thinking about attending college in the United States, but perhaps you might not be ready for a university with a four-year program. About 88,000 international students have found a solution. They are attending U.S. community colleges. Such colleges are sometimes called junior colleges. They offer 2 years of education above the secondary or high school level. Community college students can choose from subjects like medical assistance, computer sciences, or law enforcement. At the end of their study program, they receive a document of completion called a certificate. Other students work toward an associate degree in traditional academic subjects like science or history. Some students with associate degrees move on to attend a four-year college or university. They may have only 2 years of study left before they receive a bachelor's degree. Many educational experts agree that saving money is a good reason to consider a community college. The American Association of Community Colleges says a public 2-year college costs an average of $3,000 a year. That is true if the student lives in the same state as the school. A student at a 4-year public college may pay more than $8,500 a year for classes and user fees. That does not include books and other materials. International students may need more preparation in English before entering a 4-year school in the United States. For example, Istrif Montgomery came to the U.S. from Kosovo in 2006. He soon will graduate from the University of Maryland's University College. But he did not begin his college-level education at the university. First, he spent 3 years at a Maryland junior college with, by chance, the same name as his last name. He worked to improve his English at Montgomery College for a year. Then, for the next 2 years, he attended classes in basic subjects. Some international students at 2-year colleges need to find a place to live. Most community colleges do not provide student housing on their grounds. But Mr. Montgomery had a home nearby.
It was right there, and I was able to ride my bicycle. I was able to walk if I wanted.
Scott Crow is with American River College in Sacramento, California. He says most community college students live near the school. For example, he says most American River students live within 5 to 10 miles of the college. And that's the Education Report from VOA Learning English. We will have more about community colleges in a future report. You can visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Bob Doty. ¶¶
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, our weekly program of American history for people learning English. I'm Steve Ember. The national election of 1832 put Andrew Jackson in the White House for a second term as president. One of the major events of his second term was the fight against the Bank of the United States. In 1836, the bank's charter ended, and the Treasury Department took responsibility for most of the government's finances. Many people considered Jackson's bank veto one of the most important actions of his presidency. Another major event of Andrew Jackson's second term as president involved Texas. The United States had given its claim to Texas to Spain in 1819. Then Mexico won its independence from Spain in 1821. After that, Texas belonged to Mexico. During the 1820s, Americans poured into Texas. Most of the settlers came from the states of Tennessee, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Many owned slaves and brought the slaves with them to Texas. American settlers in Texas were able to buy land for almost nothing, but they had to promise to join the Roman Catholic Church. They also had to promise to obey the laws of Mexico. Over time, Mexican leaders saw the danger of continuing to permit Americans to settle in Texas. The Mexican government sent an official to inspect conditions along the border with the United States. The official reported that as he traveled north through Texas, he saw less and less that was Mexican and more that was American. He said there were very few Mexicans in some towns, and these Mexicans, he said, were extremely poor. He said the American settlers were not becoming true Mexicans. They were not speaking Spanish. They were not becoming Catholics, and they were not accepting Mexican traditions. The official said the situation in Texas could throw the whole Mexican nation into revolution. He urged Mexico to send troops to occupy Texas. The situation between the settlers and the Mexican government became increasingly tense. For the most part, there was little that President Andrew Jackson could do. The United States had a friendship treaty with Mexico. The government in Washington had a duty to remain neutral. In April 1833, the settlers in Texas held a convention. They prepared a list of appeals to the leader of Mexico, General Santa Anna. One of the Americans, Stephen Austin, carried the appeals to Mexico City. He spent 6 months negotiating with the Mexican government. General Santa Anna promised to honor all the requests except one. He would not make Texas a Mexican state, although he said that might be possible someday. Stephen Austin was satisfied. He left the Mexican capital to return to Texas. On his way home, to his surprise, Austin was arrested. He was arrested because of a letter he had written earlier. He had written it when his negotiations with Mexican officials seemed to be failing. He had said, "It might be best if the people declared Texas an independent state." Austin was put in prison in Mexico City for a year and a half. Stephen Austin urged the people of Texas to remain loyal to Mexico. But talk of rebellion had already begun. The settlers were calling themselves Texans. In November 1835, representatives from all parts of Texas held a convention to discuss the situation. They had no plans to take Texas out of the Mexican Republic. In fact, a proposal to do that was defeated by a large vote. However, the Texans took action to protect themselves against Santa Anna, who had declared himself dictator. They organized a temporary state government. They also organized a state army, and they made plans for another convention. Before the Texans could meet again, Santa Anna led an army of 7,000 men across the Rio Grande River into Texas. The first soldiers reached San Antonio on February 23rd. The Texas forces withdrew to an old Spanish mission church called the Alamo. On March 1st, the Second Texas Convention opened. This time, the representatives voted to declare Texas a free, independent, and sovereign republic. They wrote a constitution based on the Constitution of the United States. They created a government. David Burnett became president. Sam Houston was to continue as commander of Texas forces. On the second day of the convention, a letter came from the Alamo in San Antonio. The letter was addressed to the people of Texas and all Americans. The commander of Texas forces at the Alamo, Lieutenant Colonel William Barrett Travis, wrote, "I am besieged by 1,000 or more of the Mexicans under Santa Anna. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade for 24 hours and have not lost a man. The enemy has demanded a surrender at discretion. Otherwise, the garrison are to be put to the sword if the fort is taken. I have answered the demand with a cannon shot, and our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat." The letter from the Alamo closed with the words, "Victory or death." Representatives at the convention wanted to leave immediately to go to the aid of the Texans at the Alamo. But Sam Houston told them it was their duty to remain and create a government for Texas. Houston would go there himself with a small force. The help came too late for the 189 men, perhaps even more, at the Alamo. The defenders included some Tejanos, or Hispanic Texans, and the famed frontiersman Davy Crockett. Santa Anna's forces captured the mission on March 6th. When the battle ended, not a single one of the defenders was still alive. Sam Houston ordered all Texas forces to withdraw to the northeast, away from the Mexican army. One group of Texans did not move fast enough. Santa Anna trapped them. He said the Texans would not be harmed if they surrendered. They did. 1 week later, they were marched to a field and shot. Only a few escaped to tell the story. Santa Anna then moved against Sam Houston. He was sure his large army could defeat the remaining Texas force. President Andrew Jackson and Sam Houston were close friends. When told of Houston's retreat, the president pointed to a map of Texas. He said, "If Sam Houston is worth anything, he will make his stand here." Jackson pointed to the mouth of the San Jacinto River. The Battle of San Jacinto began at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There were about 800 Texans. There were twice as many Mexicans. The Mexicans did not expect the retreating Texans to turn and fight, but they did. Shouting, "Remember the Alamo!" the Texans ran at the Mexican soldiers. 18 minutes later, the battle was over. Santa Anna's army was destroyed. On May 14, 1836, Texas President David Burnett and General Santa Anna signed a treaty. The treaty made Texas independent from Mexico. Historian Daniel Fellers says President Jackson had to be careful when responding to the situation in Texas.
Whether or not Jackson approved of the insurrection in Texas, whether or not he saw it as complicating or easing the path toward eventual assimilation of Texas, there's no doubt that he wanted Texas as part of the United States.
Jackson did not want Mexico to blame the United States for the revolution, even though the American government had been trying to buy Texas for many years. Jackson believed the country should spread as far west as it could. But he also worried that giving statehood to Texas would deepen the split between the northern and southern states. Texas would be a state where slavery was permitted. For this reason, the anti-slavery leaders in the North strongly opposed Texas statehood. Jackson told a representative from Texas, William Wharton, that there was a way that statehood for Texas would bring the North and South together instead of splitting them apart. Jackson said Texas should claim California. The fishing interests of the North and East, said Jackson, wanted a port on the Pacific coast. Offer it to them, the president said, and they will soon forget that Texas is a slave state. Jackson and Wharton held this discussion just 3 weeks before the end of the president's term. Wharton spent much time at the White House. He also worked with congressmen, urging the lawmakers to recognize Texas. He was able to get Congress to include in a bill a statement permitting the United States to send a minister to Texas. This bill was approved 4 days before the end of Jackson's term. On the afternoon of March 3, 1837, Jackson agreed to recognize the new republic led by his old friend, Sam Houston. 9 years would pass before Texas became an American state. Jackson's presidency was almost over. His legacy and the election of 1836 will be our story next week. I'm Steve Ember, inviting you to join us next time for The Making of a Nation, American History from VOA Learning English.